This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello again. Welcome back to Embracing Change. We have been going down the topic of resetting the comparison of body, soul, and spirit. And if you've been listening this season, you've heard us talk about the body, about hardware versus software. We've talked about the soul and the spirit and the weight versus non-weight. And last episode, we talked about touch versus non-touch. And this one is going to be really interesting because this one is called smell versus odorless. So related to the spirit, is this more of a spirit aspect of the triune man? Is it more of a soul aspect?
Or I think it's all three.
We're all three. Talk about,
okay. Because I can smell your body.
Well, right. Well, hopefully you can't smell my body.
But I'm saying, no, everyone that comes into the world has an odor.
That's true. That people have their own scent.
Yeah, and yeah. It's in our body. Like, I can put on a perfume, and you can smell. It's going to smell different on you than it does on me.
It's true, because of our metabolism and how our bodies actually process chemicals.
Exactly. So yeah. When we deal with smell versus odorless, it is about the natural things that we can smell on people and how we smell them. You walk into a house, right? Mm. And your house has a smell.
It does.
When you've lived in it, it's almost like you can put on the same clothes if they've lived in your, and they've been in your closet. They have a smell. So there's some people can know you're around based on your odor.
Yeah, and it can be very comforting if it's someone that you love, that unique scent that makes them them.
So when you're comparing the body, the soul, and the spirit, when you deal with smell versus odorless or non-smell, that's what I want. You know, we're going to talk more about how in this world there's so much natural smell about food and about taste and about, you know, all of that. And then there's stuff in the spirit that is odorless or has no smell to it. And so you've got to figure out and operate from those places and be able to move almost seamlessless, in a seamless way. You got to be able to move from the smell to the odorless. It's almost like the seen to the unseen. You got to be able to move from place to place in order to be connected to all three parts of yourself.
So how does smell relate to, or I guess non-smell is what you're relating to the spirit?
Exactly. Right? I'm just relating all of, because it all has to connect. Yeah, it all has to connect. You know, I think what you're trying to say is, what is the spirit? But I'm saying,
how do they connect is what I'm trying to
think. Right, and yeah. I'm saying that the body, the soul, and the spirit has to connect. There's a smell that I can walk into this office and people will be on the elevator and they'll say, Lakrita's here. And I'll say, yeah. Why? And they said, because I smelt you. Because, you know, is it because I wear the same? I can wear different cologne, a different perfume every day, but there's a smell that's just Lakrita, and people can smell it. And I can have on a different one. So that I feel like that it also is an aroma. The Bible talks about being aroma in your nostrils.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So he wants to smell us. There's a smell that we have on us, you know, and he can almost sniff us and know who we are. Because it's what are we exuberating out of our pores to create him to know us by our smell. If the humans can know me by my smell, he definitely knows me by my smell.
The
he knows
that makes
what I'm
uniquely you.
Exactly. That's why the chemicals in our body gives off an aroma to certain smells. It's actually a chemical that's in our body that gives it out, and it, you know, we all smell different. And then there's some of us that are odorless because when it comes to the spirit, if you've not been doing the necessary work, and when I say faith without works is dead, there's participation in this relationship that you have with the spirit. And so if you're not doing the necessary footwork for your own life, you become odorless. you have no smell. Because you're not stirring up the things in your life that would become a pleasant aroma to his nostrils.
That reminds me of praise and offerings and things that, like in the Old Testament, it became, or it came from actual physical offerings, but now it's from our worship and our faith and the things that we do.
And it says, you know, like when it says when, oh, back in the Old Testament, they, the, you know, print, the high priest had to go in and it was an incense that they burned.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And so therefore, the incense was a part of the ritual as the worship. Now he is looking for me to be the incense.
Yeah. Yeah. I, kind of a weird side note. I looked up at one point if they still made that specific incense, and they do, but it's super expensive. Like if you wanted to smell what was actually burned in the temple, but it's still out there, which just kind of blows my mind that you could have access to something like that.
That you're talking about what they had in the Old Testament?
The whatever the ratio was to make that incense that they burned in the temple, you can actually get it. But it, like I said, it's super expensive. But I found that interesting.
One of the things that about the smell of a person, you can also, you know, like it's this thing that I sense spiritually with people and naturally. It's a natural and a spiritual thing. But I can tell through certain smells that people give off based on if they're depressed, if they're anxious. There is an aroma that they give off, not just in behaviors, but actually a chemical imbalance. That's what called, you know, we have chemical, mentally we have chemical imbalances, and there is actually an aroma and a smell that is given off.
You know, it reminds me of when I was in high school, I was an honors art student, and we got into Impressionism. And the thing about Impressionism is you're not just processing your environment through your eyes. You're processing it maybe what you're smelling, what you're hearing, trying to put like color to a sound and stuff like that. And I happened to know someone who had been, he'd been an alcoholic for a very long time. And he volunteered to let me paint him. And I painted him with like a lot of yellows and a lot of browns and like some really pale greens. And he said, boy, that's a very interesting choice of color. And I tried to keep it, I tried to interpret what I was smelling by color. And so that's how that kind of came out. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that because he drank so heavily,
you could smell the pores.
It would come out of his pores. Yeah. He had a very distinctive smell continuously because he would, this person that I knew would start drinking at breakfast. He'd have beer with his breakfast and he would just go all day. And so, yeah, the body had to know where to put some of that except out. And so when I had to paint it with an impression, that's how I saw him.
And not only that, it's just like you said, we are just, our body is so well made by creation of God. And the pancreas and all the stuff that, you know, the insulin and everything that goes into the chemical parts of our bodies when we put food in and how it comes out and the smell and the aroma, you know, all of that is part of how we digest even in our spirit, and how, you know what I mean? Everything is related one to another. The body is related to the soul, and the soul is related to the spirit, and the spirit is related to all the other two. The spirit wants to be sitting on the throne of my body. It wants to teach me how to put the right foods in it, how to operate in it, what to think in my soul, how my personality is exemplified or illustrated to other people. It wants to have the greatest smell. It wants me to have an odor, but it wants me to smell like him. And so look at scripture, I want to go with Genesis 8:21, and it says, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. He said, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. And neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have before. Because when he starts smelling a pleasing aroma, you know what I'm saying? He decided to make a decision and a promise that he would never destroy everything in order to make a point. And so you go on and you just see over and over in scripture where it talks about, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, amongst those who are perishing.
Ooh.
2 Corinthians 2:15.
I love that.
You know what I mean? That we are constantly, you know, it's a, like it says in Exodus 29:18, it talks about the burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. You look at Cain and Abel and how the different offerings of sacrifice that they made, and Abel made a more pleasing one than Cain. And Cain became so angry that he killed his brother. And then he said, you know, the blood, in other words, he could smell the blood that of Abel, that Cain, you know, am I my brother's keeper? God has smelt it from the ground. You know, he told him, sin lays at the door and waits on you. In other words, he was warning him. But we don't listen to even the aromas and the smells we give off, through our attitudes and through the way we think and the way that we act and the way that we believe. We don't believe that those are smells.
I love that we can be a fragrance
among other
people.
We can be a fragrance among each other.
Oh, my gosh.
We can be one definitely with God. You know, and it just goes on and on. You find in John 15:3, it says, no greater love has one had that he would lay down his life for his friend. In other words, your smell is in your love. You can smell love, just like you can smell hate. You can smell it. It has a smell to it. And if you look and be aware of it, and we'll talk more in the other ones, in the other episode, about some of the ways of different ways to settle yourself down so you can be so aware of even the smell or something that is odorless or has no smell, being able to be aware of it. That when you, you know, I love broccoli, but I know that broccoli has a smell to it if it stays in the refrigerator too long.
Yeah.
It quickly goes bad. You know what I'm saying? So you have to eat broccoli, whether raw or cooked, quickly, because it has a certain smell to it. And so it's even certain foods that relate to our body chemistry. And it brings, just like alcohol, you were saying, you know, there is certain things about us that God is looking and smelling. He wants to smell himself in us. He wants to see and hear and know that he exists more in us than we do of ourselves.
Kind of like he's coming out of our pores.
And literally he is.
Yeah.
It depends on the situation. Literally he is coming out of our pores.
I love that.
You know, and we just have to be so aware of it, to the point that when you say smell versus odorless, it's just being aware. It's just us being aware of us. I know my smell. You know, I know when I'm being stinky pinky. I know that.
Stinky pinky.
Exactly. A pinky stinky. I know when I'm being that. You know what I mean? There's a part of me inside of me that knows me well enough to know when I'm not being my best version of myself, and that I, you know, the odor of my own self is just sometimes so unpleasant to smell.
Yeah.
Myself. And if you can't get to know who you are from the inside out, how do you expect to know someone else that way? And we talked about that in the closing. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known and to be seen. It's all, it ties in together. And we have to be so aware of it. I think we so get so busy, for me, what I've seen is we get so busy looking at everybody else that we forget to look at ourselves. Hmm. We forget to smell ourselves. We forget to know that there are some things that are not, that doesn't have a smell, and there's some things that do have a smell. And so smell is real important in this walk with the triune. It's what are you smelling like? And what are people, what when they're around you, when you leave a room, what is the odor you left? Is it odorless or is it an odor that is unpleasant? Or is it an odor that is pleasant? You want to leave an odor. You want people to smell you. And you want them to smell you even if it is one that is not as friendly, so they can tell you what that odor is.
That's like experiencing someone in like 3D, if you will. I mean, it's more than 3D, but you're experiencing them by seeing them, by the weight, the feeling them, the presence they bring in, smelling them, knowing what their scent is. Like you're fully experiencing someone, being known.
And that's being known. And that is you being willing, though. You can only know that of someone else by knowing it of yourself. See, we are so busy being distracted by other things that we're not paying attention to us. And I matter. I need to be my greatest cheerleader. I need to know when to take a bath when I'm stinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I say bath, not physical all the time, I'm talking spiritual bath as well.
Yeah.
When I know I need to get into the presence and bathe in front of the Lord for my own soul. The Bible says work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. So I need to know how I smell. And when I'm not, as my spiritual hygiene is not up to par, that I'm not doing what is necessary for me to be the best version and the smell, the aroma, or the fragrance that God wants to sense in his nostrils towards me.
That's a good term. I really like that, spiritual hygiene.
Exactly.
That is so good. I don't think I've ever heard someone express that like as it relates to your spirit. Like, what is your hygiene there?
Yes.
What are you doing to really like cleanse yourself and be that fragrance, that pleasing fragrance, rather than a stinky odor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and realizing that it's necessary to have spiritual hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's, I always say, I preached not too long ago at River Life, and I talked about we should get up, brush our teeth, wash our face, make our bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those are the three first things we should do for life. To me, if you do that every morning and you have said, I have accomplished three things before I even walked out the door.
Right.
I got God woke me up, praise the Lord, but I had to get up.
Yeah.
And once I got up, that was my first thing. Then I brushed my teeth. That was my second thing. And then I washed my face. That my third thing. And then guess what else? My fourth thing was make my bed. Guess what? If I do those things every day, that's a routine that makes me do at least four things before I even leave the house, let alone all the other things I've done.
It's an accomplishment.
It's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
So it's the small goals that start off with to get the bigger goals. And spiritual hygiene is one of them. Whether it is 15 minutes that I sit quietly before the Lord to bathe into his day of what he wants me to do and touch with him, get in touch with him, which we'll talk about more on another episode about meditation and those kind of, you know, practical things for spiritual hygiene. You know, we spend more time on our physical hygiene than most of us do on our emotional or spiritual hygiene. What are we doing to take care of ourselves?
Right.
We will put on, because it's easier to put on, I say it's easier for me to put on an image for you than it is for me to really do the work for me. We put on the makeup, we go get our hair done, we get our fingernails done, we do all that stuff, buy purses we can't afford, drive cars we probably shouldn't drive at times, and maybe we can, but sometimes we can't. Because most of us who go buy a car, we look more for the car payment than the car interest. We should be asking, how much interest is on this car? See, but we don't go there. How much is the payment? If I can afford the payment, what about the maintenance? Can you afford the maintenance? I had a Lexus at one point. I could afford both the maintenance, the payment, and all of it, but I didn't want to anymore. Do you follow what I'm saying?
It's
I had to count
much.
The cost.
Yeah.
Well, because my headlight was $300 just for a bulb in my Lexus.
Yeah.
So that's not how I want to be a good steward on my on my life and on my financial stewardship. So it's the same thing with my spiritual stewardship, as well as my emotional stewardship, as well as my body stewardship. It all works together in the hygiene of both. And we have to be mindful of those things. So it's those little small things that we don't look at that really brings a mountain of a bigger thing later.
Yeah.
But we don't see that.
It's like small compromises get you to a big fall. And it's like people don't realize when they get to those big falls, like, how did I get here? Like, I've heard that so many times where people go, what happened? Like, how did I get to this point? Well, it's little compromises.
It's the, like, little odor.
It's the little things, right? Yeah. The little odor. Yeah.
It's the little odor that brings on the greater smell later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it can either be a very nice aroma, fragrance, or it can be a very nasty, stinky one. But it didn't get there all at once. It got there gradually.
One little thing at a time.
Exactly. And every time, if we're not careful, we push ourselves past the ability to pull ourselves back.
Yeah.
And it's just like we talked about weight when we gain weight. We didn't gain the weight all at once. It was gradually.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we couldn't fasten the pants. And we wonder why. Well, because most of us now have stretchy pants, so we never know what we are wearing.
Thank God.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, so we don't put on button-up pants that much. And then we're coming out of COVID.
That's true.
You know what I mean? We all was putting on the pull-up stretchy pants,
right,
the comfortable, because most of us was working from home. And then we didn't realize we gained 20 pounds because those pants just kept stretching as we kept stretching.
Right. Or you were in loungewear because you were working from home and you never had to go anywhere and, like, broke your routine. And then it's like, oh, gosh, how did I get here? Well, it was a year of being in quarantine, or not quarantine, but yeah.
Yeah, but being in the house, not being, you know, and it's the same thing with your spirit man, and it's the same thing with your emotional person, and it's the same thing with your physical. All of it works together for the good, but they have to be a triangle, and they have to work together. And a lot of times we separate them, but really they should be cohesive, and they should be a team.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. So look at where you're taking those little steps and try to stop them before you go too far in that walk.
Exactly. And catch yourself. Smell yourself.
Smell yourself. Sniff test.
Do a sniff test.
There you go.
You know what I mean? We do it in the stores when it comes to perfume.
Yep.
You know, do it to yourself and see what your life is looking like. What do you smell? Do you have an odor? Are you odorless? Or do you have a smell? And if you do, what is that smell? And do you need to change that smell?
Yeah. Yep.
And that means any part of your life, whether it's your body, whether it's your soul, or whether it's your spirit. Smell yourself.
Get into some good hygiene, for sure.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's pause it right there. Not pause it. Stop it right there. And we will be back. Our next subject, when we come back, is going to be sense versus nonsense. And this should be really good.
Oh, it definitely will be. Because some things just don't make sense, and some things are just nonsense.
Right.
And we're going to talk about some of the nonsense stuff that we do.
Right.
Come on. And some of the things that just make common sense. Like, is common not common anymore? Right. I don't know.
Well, it's been redefined, that's for sure. For sure. Okay, we'll see you guys next episode. Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts, and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lakrita Bowman.